I'm excited about sharing with you. I am from the book of Galatians 5 and 6. It simply says this: For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. But the only thing that counts, and help me out with this, is faith expressing itself. Help me out. So what counts is not what we have on the outside, not what church we go to. It's not about, you know, what we look like as a youth we're singing today, but it's about faith expressing itself through love. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you do. We ask only, God, that you speak to us and through us today. We want your will to be done in our lives. We celebrate you, God, because all that we are, it's about you. You opened doors. You made ways. May we never get it twisted. It is about you, because one day we'll stand face to face with you, God. And we just want to hear you say, well done. So now speak to us as a church, as a body of believers. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And those that agree with that prayer, why don't you give them a good God bless you in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you one more chance because I was just thinking, man. When I think about how far God brought me, how he saved me and, you know, satisfied me too. And I know I had some spirits of the enemy operating in my life, and God changed me from the inside out. And then he woke me up this morning and gave me my right mind. And, you know, I tell you what, I don't want to hold back my praise. And I pray I'm in a praising church. So do me a favor. I said, give God some praise, because he's a good kind of God. I said, give God some praise in the house. If he's been good to you, just glorify him and thank him. We thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Before you take your seat, witnesses of mine say, God's been good to me. He just really has. Ain't no doubt about it. And I don't ever want to get quiet. I don't ever want to get nervous. Don't ever want to get sadiddy. Even though we're celebrating, I don't want to forget what I'm celebrating about. God has brought me out of darkness, brought me into the marvelous light, placed my feet on straight street, gave me strength to fight. He's done great things. He's done great things. And I honor and give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. So let me start off by saying this, is that we've been talking about faith and the importance of faith. And one of the things that we said even on last week is that every faith journey begins with one step. And it's important to know that all of us have a journey. And as James was even sharing earlier today, he talked about the very fact that everybody has been given a gift. Everybody's been called to something. And your something begins with you taking that step. When God calls you, it's our responsibility to respond by saying yes to God's will. He's calling some of us even today. I remember when he spoke to me, you know, even about salvation. I praise God that I answered and said, yes, Lord. But it begins with one step. I thank God for those warriors, and I call them faith warriors because they do the work of the kingdom. James is one of the faith warriors, the prayer warriors. You stand. I thank God for the prayer warriors. I appreciate you all so much standing in the gap. Those that work in so many, the children with Tracy working with children and Glenna and Hazel, all you all, the Sunday school folks, you all are behind the scene, but you said yes to God's will. You took that faith step. You didn't know you would be where you are, but because you said yes to God's will, that begins the faith journey. Are you with me today? How many of you all are glad you began the faith journey? That faith journey is important. You've got to say yes, though. When God begins to say, you know, you can say, God, I don't know if I want to do this right now. You say, God, you know, I don't like working with people. You can say, God, I'm tired. I want to watch football today. You can say a whole lot of things. Can I get a witness in the house? I tried. I'm shy. I'm behind the scene person. I just want to help. I just want to be assistance to you, Dad. And man, that just did not work. When God has a call on your life, you can try to be behind the scenes all you want. He will find you where you are. Can I get a witness? And later on, years later, I am thankful that God has called us. I have no regrets. Thank you, God, for calling me when I was trying to hide, when I was trying to do to Moses, hide on the backside of the Mount of God. But then after God brought me forward, I said, God, you know what? Serving you and living for you and walking by faith is so much better than sitting back, you know, but it's so much better to see people. When the first person got saved that I witnessed to, I'll never forget it, you know, because when I shared the gospel message, a simple way of sharing the message, and they said yes to God's will, there's something that happens on the inside of you. I want to encourage all of you all, if you've never led anyone to Christ, I want you to know that there's no better feeling, no greater joy. The Bible says that heaven rejoices when one soul gets saved. I want you to know that God has called us to witness to the world. Somebody give God praise in this house, if you really believe that. When we look at those giants of faith and we recognize that they did great things for the kingdom, it started with one step, but let's look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 7th verse. It simply says, this is by faith, he uses Noah in the beginning, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, but built an ark to save his family. So Noah was focusing on doing what God said. It says, so by faith, he condemned the world, knowing that God says, no, I'm not happy with the world because of their righteousness that is keeping with faith. Next verse, before you go there, let's talk about Noah for a minute. When I think about Noah, I think about Noah had never seen a boat. Noah had, you know, he had a family, but man, people were clowning in that day, Genesis 6. They was acting a fool for the lack of a better way of saying it. I mean, they were doing, in fact, to the point God said, man, I hate I even made man. Isn't that something? God himself said that. He says, I'm going to wipe this out, and guess what? You know, I'm going to raise up a man. Why did Noah catch his eye? The Bible said Noah found favor with God. One reason he found favor with God, because he walked with God. What does that look like? When God told him to do something, Noah was right there. God, I know you, I trust you, I love you, and I want to walk with you. If you want to please God, if you want to find favor with God, learn how to walk with him. That means you got to take a step, and it begins with one step. When he calls you to something, you've got to go in and take that step. I didn't say you had to do a leap of faith. Just take a step, step by step. Are you with me? But I want you to know that because Noah obeyed God, he was still willing to preach 120 years before seeing any fruit. 120 years before seeing the rain fall. 120 years operating in faith. So don't tell me that you are tired because you haven't seen God operate yet. If Noah could wait 120 years in faith, how come we can't wait 120 days? If God said he's going to do it, then God performs his word. Can I get a witness? Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So therefore, if you said it, God, I'm going to stand on it. I don't care how long it takes. You are God and you cannot lie. Somebody give God praise if you believe what I'm saying. The 8th verse goes on and says, by faith, Abraham, when called, what was he doing? Called to go to a place, you know, that he would later receive as his inheritance. Abraham was called. So God spoke to him. God is going to speak to some of us today. But we've got to hear the voice of God and be willing to receive the inheritance that God has called us. What did he do when you hear the call of God? He obeyed and went, even though he didn't fully know where he was going. How many of you all have ever been called by God to go when you didn't totally understand the whole piece? Man, he's called you to go some places and do some things and you didn't really understand it. I give one testimony of not long ago about, you know, God told me about this particular place. And as my sister was saying, you know, I won't even deal with her. I will talk to her later on, though. She gave my testimony. But there was a call. God says, I want you to purchase this particular place. Well, didn't know totally what it was going to be. But a year later, there's some people that God places on our heart, veterans. How many veterans do we have in the house today? I just want to see. There's one, two, three. Put your hands together for the veterans in the house. And then God says, I want you to use this facility for veterans. And, you know, I didn't know, like, God, what veterans? And then God began to show me and connect all the dots and connect me with people that could write things up. And we put it together, long story short. And this Friday, we signed leases with our first group of veterans. So they've got a screen. I'm sure they're going to put it on the screen right there. This is Abundant Faith Veterans Home. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? But it starts with one step at a time. You know how most of us messed up? Now, this guy, you all know him. He's you can tell. Yeah, this is Ken. Thank God Ken works with us on a regular basis. These are our two veterans. Man, they've got stories. They've got war stories about how God has blessed them. And when I think about that, God thinks enough of them to place them on our hearts, even we don't even know them. So God raises people up to say, hey, you need to take care of some people that I care about, even though you don't know them. Glory to the name of God. Glory to the name of God. See, that's how God does things. God is raising some people up in here today that you might minister to some people that you've never yet met, but he wants to bring them into a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. He wants to see them set free, delivered, and walking in faith and the confidence in who Jesus is. I want you to know that God is raising us up even today. Give God praise. Give him glory, because he's a wonderful God. The ninth verse says this, but it says, by faith, he made his home and in the promised land like a stranger and a foreigner in this country. In other words, this place is not my home. Lived in tents. And as did Isaac, Jacob, and there were his heirs with him of the same promise. This next verse, I want you to do it. It's actually the next two verses. It says, for he was looking forward to the city and the foundation whose architect and builder is God. Check out this 11th verse. It says, and by faith, even who? Sarah. So Sarah was in the very, I call it the hall of faith, if you will, who was past childbearing years. She was older and was enabled to bear children. Why? Because she considered him faithful, not because her body was all that, but she considered him what? Faithful, who had made the promise. In other words, because God made the promise, and I know he's faithful, that I know that I must be able to do what God says I can do. It's not because of my strength, but it's because of God operating on the inside of me. Are you with me today? Can I share this with you today? Because it's important for us to embrace this thought process. Most people do not have a problem with faith in God. If you say, can God do great things? Oh, yes. Hallelujah, Pastor. God can part the Red Sea. God can cause, you know, fire to come from heaven. God can lap up water that's on the altar, because he's God. There's nothing too great for God to do. But we struggle when it comes to God operating through us. When I look at this passage, and see what God has done and what God is doing in the lives of individuals, most of us don't struggle with God being all powerful. We struggle with, can he use us? You know, Sarah's first step when God began to speak to Abraham, I'm going to, you know, children are going to come through you. And Abraham, I like Abraham's word. He says, well, how come you just can't use Ishmael? May Ishmael be the blessed one. He said, no, I'm going to take care of Ishmael. But there's another, the seed that's going to come through you. Ishmael is going to be blessed. I'm blessing Ishmael. But I also know that Isaac is the one that I'm going to bring the very Jesus, the promised one, through him. And Jesus, you know, sometimes we would almost say to God, God, isn't this good enough? Let me give you an alternative. But God, we want God's perfect will in our lives. Are you with me today? So therefore, Abram laughs. And look, when you see people that are walking in faith, you say, man, they were always people of faith. But do you know that Sarah laughed before she got in this in the book of the Hall of Faith, right? When you read this, you say, man, she was always full of faith. No, we saw her story. We read her history. And what did she do when God gave her the assignment? What did she do? What did she do? So she laughed. And if she laughed, sometimes it's okay for us to laugh. We are not laughing at God, but we're laughing at the situation. God, for real? You gonna use me? For real, God? And God says, yeah, for real. I want to use you. Why? Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we need to continue to sing those songs. I know who I am. You know, I know what you can do on the inside of me. I know who I am. You know, if anybody needs to grasp this message, the Abundant Faith family needs to grasp it. You say, well, we've been around 25 years and, well, this is not happening. It doesn't make any difference how it looks like on the outside. If God has called you to it, he's going to equip you to go and do the very thing he's called you to do. I don't care. Well, you say, well, the economy doesn't look good, or people aren't doing. Forget all of that. Just say, God, if you promised, I've considered him faithful. who has made the promise. Are you with me today? Has God promised you some things? If it don't look like it, don't put your focus on what it looks like. Put your focus on the one who promised. He said you're the head and not the tail. He said he would make you plenteous in good. He said you would walk as the righteousness of God. You've got to walk in God's favor and God's power, regardless what it looks like on the outside. Somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Because he who promised is faithful. Somebody give him a shout in this house. Said with me, he who promised is faithful. And you've got to remind yourself of that. You've got to remind, man, so many things have come towards me. And man, when you begin to look at what God has said versus what it looks like, man, it can really cause an internal battle. That's why the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. I give God praise. I give him glory. So we don't struggle oftentimes about, you know, God being able to do all things. We struggle many times about the very fact that him using us to do things. But it is Christ in you. You are God's hands. You are Christ's hands. You are Christ's feet. Hallelujah. So therefore, what has to happen? Let me take you to this place. You know, we please God, and it's important to grasp this. We please God when we show him that we, number one, when we show him that we trust him. When God calls us to do something, we've got to trust God, and we call those children to walk. Those children have to trust us to know that they can. And even before they fall, we can catch them. So trusting God helps us to make that first step. So God is pleased with our steps of faith, and our steps of faith that we show God or show him is when we trust him. And how many of you all know you need to work on your trust in him? We need to work on our trust in him, because when God tells us something, there's no need of us worrying and getting shook up and getting all nervous and, you know, can't sleep at night. You know, man, why? If you trust him, you know, cast your cares upon him. Somebody right now needs to hear this message because you're worried about something that you cannot change. Who by taking thought can add one cubit to their body? You can't do it, so you might as well trust him. He's never let you down before, has he? Here's what Proverbs 3:5 says. It says, trust in what? The government. Trust in your big daddy, boyfriend. Well, he hooks me up every month. Bless God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and then don't lean to your. So I got to separate my heart from my own understanding in my head. My heart says one thing and my heart knows God. I trust him in my heart and I believe God. But my head says, well, look at the situation. How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to do? I got to do something illegal. Well, God understands I got to sell this package in order for me to make rent. No, God knows how to go and provide supernaturally so you won't have to do something foul. Are you with me today? And sometimes my head gets in the way of my heart. That's why he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Abraham's head got in the way. God says, you know, he believes God in his heart. So God says, Abraham, you're going to have a blessed seed, Isaac. And I love God. God says, here they named Isaac, you know, they named their son Isaac. Guess what Isaac means? Laughter. So it's every time they look at him and say, that's when we laugh at each other, when we would. But look at God. He made us come together. Look what we got. Got children now, and all generations of kids, just like God said. It makes them laugh. And when I look back at my life and say, God, you know what? Some things I look back and I just say, God, you know your hand was in it all the time. I just got to learn how to trust you. So, Abram, I believe you, God. I know you're God. But when I look at the score, when I look at the circumstances, when I look at the situations, but if we could just look in the spirit realm, in the heavenly realm, and see what's taking place in the unseen realm, when we would be like Elijah, just open the eyes of the servant. So when his eyes come open, you can say, oh my God, look at all God has for us. In this room right now, there are angelic forces that stand on guard for us, that fight for us, that walk alongside of us. Thank you, God, for seeing through the spiritual eyes. So I don't want to lean to my own understanding, but I, in all my ways, I want to acknowledge him and allow him to direct my path. So shout this with me. I need to learn how to trust God. Witness to a neighbor, encourage him. Encourage him. Trust God. Someone needs to hear it, because right now you don't want to trust yourself. You don't want to trust the stock market. You don't want to trust your job. You don't want to trust any of that. You want to trust God. And I give you glory, God. I give you praise. And some would say, Pastor, you know, I'm learning to trust God. And that's a good thing. Continue to let that. And you trust him the more we know him, because that's the next thing. How do we show him we love him and he becomes pleased with me? Is because not only do we trust him, we know him. And what do you mean? Do you know you know him? It's very important that we recognize, you know, how God the Father has been depicted amongst many religious groups is not the way he is. He is a father. He is not mad at you. Why is he not mad at you? Because when Jesus came, he satisfied the sin debt. When he sees you, he no longer sees you as you are looking through the eyes of the flesh, but he sees you through the eyes and through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He sees you as righteous. Now, I know you say, man, he sees me. Yes, that's how he sees you. That's why I love that song. When he sees me, he sees his righteousness. He sees the Holy Spirit filling up the emptiness. When he sees me, he sees the blood he shed. I'm so glad he sees himself when he looks at me. I want you to know that when God looks at you, he's no longer mad at you, because the blood has been shed, the sin debt has been canceled, and you are walking freedom. Somebody give God praise. So, if somebody lies, you say, well, God's mad at you, you messed up, you're going to bust hell wide open. You know God. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for God is what? Love. And everyone who loves is born of God. And what? You know God. I did not know him. I was in church, but I didn't know him. I thought he was mad, upset, angry, because I messed up on a regular basis. But when I got to know him, I recognized he wasn't finding fault with me, looking at every little thing I did and pointing the finger at me. But because he loved me, he sent someone that could pay the price for me and that I could walk in freedom. And I recognize that he loves me when I'm doing good. He loves me when I'm doing bad. He loves me as a father. When my sons mess up, I don't kick them out of the family. Man, I love my boys, and that means spiritual sons, spiritual daughters as well. When they mess up, and I thank God for the ones that have come to me, you know, many times, even sometimes pregnant, saying, you know, Pastor, I'm pregnant, and they thought I'd be mad. No, I said, praise God, the church is growing, and I'm not saying go do it again, but I am saying this, is that God is with us, and he's not mad at you. He loves you just as much. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Oh, my God. And I know the religious group is saying, well, I ain't agreeing with that. God is not mad at that child. Amen. Glory. Whew. I better move on, because I don't have time to work this out. And whoo, help me, Holy Ghost. So when you know God and know that God is not angry with you, it'll help you lighten the load on yourself, because you operate under guilt, condemnation, and shame. God doesn't want you under guilt, condemnation, and shame. In fact, he doesn't even want you, you know, walking the tightrope. This is how I used to. When I got saved, I said, I don't want to mess up. You looking at the tightrope. I don't want to. But when you get saved, no longer do you have to watch and focus on the tightrope, because you put your attention on Jesus, looking to Jesus. Therefore, when I walk by faith. God, I know you've got me. And if I do fall, you'll catch me before I fall. Somebody give God praise in this house. Give him good praise. He's a good God. So not only do I trust him, I know him, and then it's important to know that I love him. And I love this passage. It says, if you love me, help me out, you'll do what? It doesn't say keep my commandments first. It says, if you love me, or because you love me, you can follow or obey what I say, because I would not tell you to do anything wrong. I used to look at this passage and recognize that, well, if I don't keep his commandments, that means that I don't love him. That would be the flip side of it. But here's what he is actually saying. Because I've shown love for you, and because you're expressing your love to me, it's okay to obey me, because I'll never take you down a wrong path. Whew, when I got that, I was like, God, thank you so much. Man, salvation is something we've got to share with the world. We've got to open our mouths and tell people about what God has done for us. It makes a tremendous difference in our lives. I want to let you know that, man, this has been the best life I could ever have. Not saying I didn't have problems. Yeah, but man, I've got God on my side. And the world is looking for this story. And sometimes the world needs to know that we believe. In fact, they don't think we believe what we say we believe. What do you mean by that? You mean to tell me to live for you as Christ and to die as gain? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that this place is just, we're just pilgrims and strangers traveling through. I believe there's a better place prepared for us. You know, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That's how I want to live. Therefore, I'm not going to be fighting over something that don't make eternal difference. Who cares about who wins the argument? Am I preaching okay today? Who cares about who got to the parking spot first? Who cares about whose boyfriend he is? I'm not, man. I wouldn't fight over no man. Man. If you love me, you'll recognize that what I'm saying is for your benefit. And you can keep my commandment. Now, I want to share my story because I think it's tremendously important that we share our stories, you know, because truth be known is that somebody is waiting to hear our story. Somebody needs our story in order to walk in faith and confidence. And the world is looking, they're hurting, they're broken, you know, and when they look at us, every believer in this house, we ought to be the very beacon of light of hope for them. When they say, oh, I'm struggling with depression, guess what? I know someone that can minister to you in your place of depression. I'm dealing with anxiety. Well, guess what? I know somebody that can help you in the midst of their sickness. There might be disease, whatever the situation might be. We, the body of Christ, we know someone. And I want to challenge you. The love that we have for God and for people compels us to share our message. Love compels us to share our faith story. All of us have a faith story. Not just Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. They've got a story, and thank God for their story. And their story is listed in the book of Hebrews. But all of us have faith stories as well. You hear me tell about God healing my body. You hear me telling about when I was just religious and before I really found Jesus. You hear me telling the story of so many stories about how God supernaturally intervened. Can I let you know that our faith is something that we need to share and tell people about? Are you with me today? So there's a scripture, and I'm not sure if they have it on the screen, but I think it's 2 Corinthians. It's not the Romans, but the one right after the Roman scripture. And it simply says this, thank you so much. Put your hands together for Christy and the ones back there. You're doing a fantastic job. You can follow me. It says, for the love of Christ does what? What causes me to move? It's the love of Christ on the inside of me. How can I see somebody dying and go to hell without me telling them that there's a life in Jesus Christ? That he shed his blood for all of us. We, the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to share the good news with the world. And if we love, and if we have the love of Christ on the inside of us, it's going to compel us to share the message. Because we judge this, in other words, saying that we believe this, that if one died for all, help me out, then. So in other words, I died in Christ. I was resurrected in him. And the next verse, and he died for all. And that those who live should live no longer to themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's the gospel message. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. 16th verse. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. In other words, I don't look at you from the outside, being Jew or Gentile or whatever, or bond or free. I don't look at you from the outside. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Check this next verse out, and I'm going to end on this one. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in what? He is a what? Shout, I'm a new creature. I got to get my right, my almost. Say it with me one more time. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you believe that, give God a praise. Here's your assignment this week. And I've got some young people joining me on stage. They're on their way right now. I thank God for them. Here's your assignment. Love compels us to share our story. That's our faith story. It compels us. I want you to share your faith story. You know, somebody needs to hear your faith story. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Not only do they need to hear your story, and I always ask people, I said, you know, is it okay? Can I share my story with you? And most of the time, people want to hear where you are. And sometimes it's so terrible for us to let people think that we are where we are because we got lucky. I am where I am and I have what I have just because I played all my cards right. No, God. God did it. And God, I give you glory. I give you praise. Every one of us has a faith story. And some of your faith stories are amazing. Man, I tell you what, my sister in the back, I praise God for her. Man, so sister, you know what I'm talking about. Throw your hand up in there, just wave one time. My all the way in the back. The one that gives God glory. Yeah. She my buddy. And I praise God. One day you're going to hear a story. And I don't know if we're going to be able to have church afterwards because we're going to be shouting and giving God so much glory. The one next to you has a story. You wonder how they pray, why they praise like they praise. You don't know what they've been through. I see Betty, she right behind me. She's a good amen corner. But man, she's been through something. Her and Norm been through something. And God has blessed them to continue to love him and put him first. They've got a faith story. Oh, God. I feel a dance coming on. And ain't even no music. When I see my friend Paul, and when you see him, they say, well, he's always had to get. Oh, you don't know his story. Just because he's sitting here now and God's hand has been upon his life, but he's been through some stuff and God has brought him out. Every one of us have a, help me out. And when I look back and I see how far God has brought me, it makes me want to say, thank you, God, you made a way. So share, oh my God. I'm okay. But everywhere I look, I see people that have been through so much stuff, and God has brought them out. Everywhere I look, I see the hand of God peeling off stuff and opening doors and breaking off strongholds and says, what devil meant for evil, I'll make bring it for good for them. Somebody give him praise in this house. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm almost done, but we almost ready to praise too, I tell you. He's been good to me. Love compels us to share our story. Love also compels us to share his story. What do you mean by that, man? For God so loved the world. For God so loved Jerry Wayne. Put your name in there. For God so loved that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever should believe upon him, have faith in him, you don't have to die, but you'll have everlasting life. Step on up, girls. Put your hands together for these girls right now. Y'all doing okay?
Yes.
Thank God for you. Hold that mic up too, because I appreciate you all being here. And I'm also thankful for God using young people. And I've watched you and I watched your faith in God grow. And a little while ago, and that I know that you went through something, and I've asked and invited you to share some of that with us, if you don't mind. So if you don't mind, wherever you want to begin, Encourage him one more time. Encourage him. Okay. Oh, sad music. Life. Play life.
So I was sick for 6.5 months in 2016. And it started in October when my knees were starting to hurt. It didn't seem like a big deal, but it ended up to be one. And so in November, near Thanksgiving, I went to my father's house, and I was really weak, and I didn't eat much because I was too weak to walk down the stairs. And he didn't know that I wasn't eating, but I lost 9 pounds that week.
How much do you weigh now? I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask a girl that. I was wondering what you weighed before you lost 9 pounds. Moving on.
Then I went back to my mom's house, and I had a nosebleed that was like an hour and a half. And the next day we went to the hospital, and they admitted me, and they thought it was my sickle cell, but it wasn't. Because after a few months after that,
here's a picture of her when she was in the hospital, and my wife and I went to see her. That's okay. No, it's your story. I'm butting in, so you can just continue on.
And after that, I found out that I had lupus. And then the doctor gave me some prednisone to help with my fevers. And it didn't really help because I got fevers higher. And he didn't know what to do. So we went to the St. Louis Hospital. And I was admitted for 3 days, but I ended up to be 42 days. Mm. And there I went to the ICU. And because they found out that I had MRSA, and I also had macrophage activation syndrome, which is when
did you just speak in tongues? What was that again?
Macrophage activation syndrome.
Oh.
It's when your immune system eats itself instead of trying to build stronger, and so I was really sick from that. I only stayed in the ICU for 3 days. Then I went back to the main floor and...
Reed, weren't you also having to get blood?
Yeah, I was getting blood and...
Transfusions.
Yeah. Some other... I forgot what it was called, but... Yeah. So I got transfusions. And after I went up to the main floor after the ICU... They were giving me more medicine for my MRSA. And I also had pneumonia in both lungs. And I had to take breathing tests and stuff. And then after a few weeks, I got to get out. And the doctor said that he had only given my case 10% chance just for hope. So really, he was giving it a 0% chance. So...
They thought she might die, but look at God. They did, but we didn't.